Philippians chapter number 2 in your Bibles this morning. Philippians chapter number 2. Pastor Aylstock and I have been teaching through the series, Equipped to Serve. The purpose of this series is to help each of us discover our unique design or shape that God has equipped us with to allow us to serve Him and to serve others. And through this series, we have been examining our shape, our spiritual gifts, our hearts, our abilities, our personality, and our experiences. We have all seen that we're gifted in particular ways to serve God where other people cannot. What God has made us to be often determines what He intends us to do. What we have seen so far is that God has made each of us with the purpose to minister. Every single one of us, if we know Christ is our Savior, have been created to minister to other people. We need each other. We need each other to be able to minister, just as in a body, each part needs the other. We've seen that God has given us, each of us, spiritual gifts to best equip us to serve Him. We're not all the same. A hand is different from a leg. A leg is different from a foot. And we all have different giftedness from God so that we might accomplish His work together. Today, we're going to be moving from the outside of the body to the inside of the body. We're going to be looking at the letters of H and A from shape, our heart and our abilities, our passions. You know, I grew up in a family that was passionate about sports. From the time I was little, we loved playing sports. I played sports. My brother played sports. My cousins, who were like brothers, played sports. My parents were always there watching us play sports. We went over to my cousin's house every weekend during the football season to watch the Redskins play. I mean, we were a family that was passionate about sports. My favorite program growing up was SportsCenter. I thought the channel only went to ESPN. That's what I would watch 24/7. And everyone I talked to growing up was the same. They were all passionate about sports. And then as I started getting older and I started making friends outside of my sports bubble, I realized not everyone had the same passions that I did. I would talk to friends about the big game last night. There's a big game last night? What in the world are you talking about? And they had no idea. And it shocked me. How'd you not know that they were playing each other last night? But they were passionate about other things. They would ask me growing up, did you watch 90210 last night? What in the world is 90210? I've never heard of that. Hey, did you hear about that new car that's come out? Did you see that new TV show that's come on? And I have no idea what they were talking about. They were just as passionate about these other avenues as I was as about sports. You know, and I learned something as I was growing up. All of us are unique and special. We all have different passions. We all have different things that drive us and things that we're passionate about in this life. And God has purposed in each of us to accomplish different things. God gives each of us different passions, different desires of things that He desires for us to accomplish. And He wants these God-given passions and abilities to flow out of our lives. Well, look with me once again. Pastor already read the text, but let's read it again, these short verses in Philippians chapter number 2, verse number 12. He says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. The first thing I want us to see this morning from this passage is that God has given us a salvation that is to be seen, a salvation that is to be seen by others. He said in verse number 12, the last part, he said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We're to work out our salvation. This does not say that we're to work for our salvation. It says we're to work out our salvation. It's the idea of growing muscles. You know, each of us have the same muscles. All of us have pecs, all of us have biceps, all of us have calves, all of us have triceps. We all have different muscles. Now, on some of us, some of these muscles are more visible than on other people. Some people have big biceps and other people have bigger guts. I mean, it's just how life is and how we are. But how do we get these bigger muscles in our lives? I wish we could just wake up in the morning and roll out of bed and, yeah, I feel good now. I've lost 20 pounds. I've got big muscles. Or there was a pill that we could take and, man, all right, I've got these huge muscles. But we know it doesn't happen that way. All that it would, but it doesn't. If we want big muscles, we have to put the work in. We have to put the effort in order to grow these muscles. We have to pump the iron. In the same sense, we all have the same salvation. If we know Jesus Christ is our Savior, we have the same salvation that every other Christian has. There is no Christian that has more salvation than another Christian. There is no Christian that has more of the Holy Spirit than any other Christian. We all have the same muscle, so to say. We have the same salvation. We have the same Spirit. We have the same promises and power of God that every other Christian has. But there are some Christians who exercise their faith, who exercise their salvation a little bit more than others. They pump a little bit more weight. They spend more time reading their Bibles. They spend more time in prayer. They spend more time in meditation and thinking about the things of God than other people. And so as a result, you can see their salvation. It is more evident than the salvation of other people. And Paul in this verse is encouraging each of us to hit the gym. Not the spiritual gym, but not the physical gym, but the spiritual gym. To work out our salvation. The salvation that God has given us, that he's placed inside of us, it needs to be exercised so that it may be visible to other people. You know, God has given us a salvation that he wants to be seen by others. God has not saved us to hide us. He has not lit a fire and put it under a bushel to hide it from other things. He put the salvation in us. He put the light of the gospel in us to be visible to other people. We're not to grow in spirituality just to be visible by other people. That's pride. But our salvation should be worked out for others to see. You know, there's some guys who go to the gym and they work out and they get muscles and then all they wear is tank tops. They want everyone to see their muscles. They walk around, they're big, they're proud of it, they're taking off their shirt as much as they can. Yeah, don't you see these things that I walk around with? And they point and they, you know, flex as they point, it's over that way. And they want to show off the muscles that they have. Then there's others who work out, who have big muscles, but they wear shirts, they wear normal clothes, and they're not working out to show off, to show other people the muscles that they have. And that's how we should be as Christians. We should not be working out our salvation, becoming spiritual so we can walk up and say, yeah, aren't I a good Christian? Look at me. Look at these spiritual muscles that I have. No, we should work out our salvation for the glory of God. But as we grow these muscles, it will be evident to other people. Others will see the difference that Christ makes in our lives. Others will see the salvation that God has given us, and it will become evident to other people. You know, there's some people when they work out, they don't have the motivation to do so. Man, there's a lot of us, man, I just want to work out a little bit more. This week, I'm going to hit the gym and I'm going to go, and they just can't do it. And so a lot of people, what they'll do is they'll hire trainers. They'll get someone to motivate them, to call them and say, hey, you going to be at the gym today? You coming here? Are you getting this done? Because we just don't get it done on our own. So we call somebody to come and to be our personal trainers. You know, God has given us some amazing trainers to work out our salvation. It says in verse number 12, he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. God has given us some motivators. He's given us some trainers, someone to hold us accountable. Fear and trembling. These two guys will keep us accountable. It says in verse number 10 of chapter number 2, speaking of Jesus Christ, he said that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You know, there's going to be a day when we're all going to stand before Jesus Christ, we're all going to bow before him, and we're all going to confess to him, and we're going to be before the one that has gifted us with this amazing gift of salvation. And we're going to have to give an account of how we've used the salvation that God has given us, how we've manifested it, how we've worked it out of our lives for other people to be able to see. Fear and trembling are motivating factors to us. You know, I can remember when I was a kid growing up and playing sports a lot, my grandparents would often come to watch me play. Sometimes they would travel as far as Florida to come and watch me play a baseball game. And I always knew that they were there. And I always felt the pressure of them being there. I wanted to do my very best, knowing that they had sacrificed so much, that they had made the decision to come and to watch me play. And so I made sure that every time I got up to bat to hit the ball, I was concentrated. I was really focused to make sure I hit it right. Every ball that was hit to me, I was very focused on and make sure I made the right play to get the person out, because my grandparents were there and they were watching me, and I knew the sacrifice that they had made to come and watch them. Now, I didn't want to disappoint them. I didn't want them going, "Oh, that's not my grandson. I have no idea who that guy is." I wanted them to stand up. "Yes, that's my grandson. Look what he did. I'm proud of him." You know, the fact that they were there motivated me. And it caused I was fully aware of their presence, and it caused a little bit of extra attention and a little bit of fear within me not to mess up. And we as Christians have Jesus Christ watching over us. And one day we're going to stand before his presence and we're going to give an account. And we're going to have to confess to him how we've used the salvation that he's given us. And we're going to give an account of it. And that could cause some fear and trembling. I'm going to stand before God one day. He's given me this amazing gift of salvation. He's put the Holy Spirit of God within me. How am I using it? Is it visible to other people? Am I working it out of my life? Because we all one day will have to give an account for how we've used it. And as we work out our salvation, other people will notice it. People should see a difference that Christ has made in your life. If you're saved, they will see the muscles that you have. They'll see it by the way that you live. They'll see it by the way that you act. You're different. We're saved. You're a little weird. You don't love the same things everyone else does. You have joy in tribulation. Salvation has changed your life. And now we are to work that out. We are to grow those muscles and work the salvation out of our lives. We don't walk around in tank tops boasting of our salvation. "Look how spiritual I am." No, it just naturally flows out of our life. And people can see, "Wow, that guy's different. I can see he goes to the gym. Look, his arm's a little bit bigger. That shirt's a little bit tighter on him than it would be on me in different spots, well, at least." And so we can see the salvation that God makes in a life. We have a salvation that is to be seen by others. We also have a desire that's to be done. Look at verse number 13. He says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." The word "will" here means to desire, to wish, to love, to take delight in. So God is working in our hearts to give us certain passions, to give us certain desires. You get that? God is stirring in your heart to love certain things, to enjoy, to do certain things. He gives you a want-to. He gives you a passion, a desire within your heart. That's the age and shape, your heart, your passions. That's what you're passionate about. Psalm chapter number 37, verse number 4 says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of thine heart." Our heart's desires speak of enjoyment, what we long for, what we love. When we delight in God, he places in our hearts certain desires, certain passions. What does it mean to delight in God? The word "delight" means to be soft or pliable. It speaks of having a soft spot for something. And it came to mean something that you desired, and found pleasurable. And when you have a soft spot for God, when you find pleasure in God, God will then work in your heart to give you certain desires, certain passions. Have you ever felt that God was leading you to do something for him? Or have you ever sat there in church and God worked in your heart and you say, you know, it'd be great if our church had this ministry, if we did this certain thing. You know, those could be God-given desires. Those could be desires, passions that God is putting in your heart to fulfill. It's God working in you. God is working in you to give you a love and a passion to do something. Maybe it's that you love sports and you think, man, wouldn't it be great to start a basketball league or a pickleball league or whatever it may be. Or maybe it's that you love cooking. You say, you know, it'd be good, great to start up a cooking class to have for people to enjoy it. Maybe it's you have the gift of evangelism and you think we should do more outreach events. You know, God is the one working in you. He's the one that's giving you passions and desires. Pastor Aylstock and I will sometimes have people that will come to us and say something like, Pastor, I think we should do this or that our church. Or Pastor, I think this or that would be a great ministry for our church. And a response that you'll often hear from Pastor Aylstock or I is, man, that sounds great. I agree. Go for it. Do that. God has given you that desire. You should bring it to pass. But you see, a problem that we often have is that we want other people to fulfill the passions and desires that God has placed in our hearts. God has given us a passion. God has given us a desire. He's made us excited about things. And we think, man, that would be great to do. Now, would you go do that? But see, that's not how it is. God has placed that desire in our hearts. He gave them to us. He wants us to accomplish them. But you say, you know, Pastor Chris, that's just too hard. You know, God, I know what you're calling me to do, but that's just too difficult for me. I don't even know where to start. I can't do that. I don't have the ability to do this what God is calling me to do. I don't have the opportunity to do this ministry. But notice this verse again in verse 13. He says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. See, God not only works in us to give us the passion, God also gives us the ability to accomplish the passions that he's put in our hearts. That word do is from the Greek word energeo. Now that sounds like a familiar English word, energy. See, God energizes us. God equips us. God gives us the ability to accomplish the passions and the desires that he has put in our hearts. And God sometimes will ask us to do things that we think, I can't do that. That's way beyond my ability. I don't have the capability of doing that. And that you probably are right. But is there anything too hard for God? And if God has placed a passion in your heart to accomplish something, and God says that he will give you the energy to do it, can you not trust him to accomplish his will? Can you not trust him to fulfill what he has given you the passion and the burden to do? God is the one working in you. As missionaries to Uruguay, Eric and I often had people ask us, why Uruguay? Why did you go to Uruguay? And there's some missionaries that had amazing callings, that God worked in supernatural ways and did miracles and pointed them directly to a country. And that wasn't the testimony that Eric and I had. We ended up in Uruguay because, one, I had a passion for Spanish-speaking people. I don't know if that's because I grew up in Manassas Park around a lot of Latinos or if it's because of mission trips we went to as a church where we went to Mexico and Honduras and Ecuador, and I love Spanish-speaking people, but I just had a burden in my heart for Spanish-speaking people. And then I had a burden in my heart for people that had never heard the gospel. And this went all the way back to Bible college. I remember when I was in Bible college, I thought about going to Australia to the Aborigines because no one else was reaching them. And so someone needed to get the gospel to them. And so God, I'd go. And so I had these two passions in my heart of Spanish-speaking people and a place where no one else was. And so I just started doing research and I came across Uruguay. I knew nothing about Uruguay. But I saw they spoke Spanish. And I saw there was very few missionaries there. And I said, okay, God, that seems like a good opportunity. I'm willing to go there. God, I'm going to go. If you don't want me, stop me. And you guys know the testimony, how God worked in miraculous ways. And in a year, he provided. And we were able to raise our full support to head down to Uruguay, South America. I mean, God did the passion. I didn't know Uruguay. But it was God working in me to give me that desire. And that's how God does it. God is working in your heart. God is giving you desires. God is giving you passions that he's not necessarily giving to other people. But he not only just says, hey, I want you to do this, good luck. No, he says, I want you to do this and I'm right here with you. I'm giving you the energy. I'm giving you the strength. I will be the one with you to energize you to be able to accomplish what I have called you to do. And that's how God works in our hearts. So what desires is God putting in your heart? Remember, God is giving you these desires, not someone else. He wants you to do it. He wants you to accomplish it. If we limit what we do as a church to just the passions that the pastors or the leaders have, we're not going to accomplish much. We're only going to accomplish what our passions and desires are. We must be, as a church family, God works in each of us to give us passions and desires to accomplish His will. He has given you these passions for you to accomplish. Now, I don't want anyone to feel that you're all alone. God often places a desire in your heart, and then He raises up a team of people that is needed to accomplish that passion and that desire. You know, we just had the spring fling a couple months ago now, where we had the tomb on the town green over there. The genesis of that was one day we were driving by. I was riding with Pastor, and Pastor Elsock said, "Hey, look, we had last year, they had the Easter Bunny out there, and they had a huge line of people taking pictures. Wouldn't it be great if we could put up an empty tomb out there?" And I was with him, and God said, "That is a great idea." And I went, yes, it is. We should do that. And so then we went to the church family, and we said, "Church, this is what we're looking at doing. What do you think?" And they said, "Yeah." And then someone said, "Hey, why don't we also set up a booth and put some eggs out there to decorate, that we can decorate and have the kids to come and do a part of?" And then we went to different people, and one guy said, I'll decorate the tomb. I'll put it together." And another person was able to paint the tomb. You see, God put a desire in someone's heart, and then He used a team of people to accomplish that desire. God often works that way. So when God puts a burden in your heart, sometimes He wants you to accomplish it. Maybe God wants you to go give cookies to your neighbor. That's a passion He's put in your heart for you to accomplish. But sometimes He puts a burden in your heart, a desire in your heart that you need a team of people to accomplish it. But He wants you to be the motivating factor behind it. He doesn't want you to just say, "Hey, this is what I think we should do, pastors. Good luck." No, He says, "I think we should do this. Hey, would you help me do this? I'm thinking God's leading us. How do you think about this?" "Yeah, let's keep moving that way. Okay, yeah, let's pray about how we can move this way." And we're the motivating factor of the passions that God has put in our hearts to accomplish the will that He has for His church. It's an amazing thing. You know, as we've talked about over the last couple sermons, we're tied together. We're intertwined together. We need each other. And so, yes, God works in us for us to accomplish things. But we as a church family need to do all we can to make sure the dreams and the passions that God has given other members are accomplished the way that God wants them to be accomplished. Sometimes God won't give us those passions that He's given other people, but He's given us the talents to help them to accomplish the passions that He's put in their hearts. See, God is the one that is working in us. God is the one that's putting desires in our hearts. And sometimes they're accomplished alone, teaching a Sunday school class. We don't need a whole team of people to get behind us to do that. Yes, it'd be great to have a group of Sunday school teachers. But God, we don't need to wait for all these other people to come alongside of us and say, "God, I'll do that because You're burdening my heart to do that." Or to bake cookies for someone. God is the one burdening our heart to accomplish His will. So God gives us a desire that is to be done. But you know, He also gives us an attitude that's to be had. Look with me in verse number 14. He said, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings." It's not just important what we do. It's just as important the attitude that we have while we do these things. All that we do should be done with a good attitude. It should be done without murmurings or disputings, without complaining or arguing. Murmuring carries the idea of grumbling. We all know what that is, and we've seen our children do that, or we've done that in our homes where someone says something to us and we're not happy about it, and we just grumble to ourselves, and we don't want anybody else to really hear what we're saying, but I don't know what they're doing. And we just kind of talk within our voice. The idea of disputing carries the idea of arguing in your mind. It's not an argument that's had outside with other people, but it's an argument that you have in your mind. It could be with God, it could be with yourself, or it could be with other people. Have you ever had an argument with somebody else in your mind? They never said anything, but you had the whole argument already in your mind. That's the idea of disputing. You are having an argument of I don't know. They shouldn't do that. We couldn't do that. No, God, you're calling me to do that. I don't think I could do that. You're wrong with calling me to do that. Or God, you've called me to do that. I don't want to do that. What are you talking about? No one else wants to be a part of this. And we grumble to ourselves and we're disputing within ourselves. And God says that all things should be done without murmuring or disputing. There are times that God burns our heart to do something that we don't necessarily want to do or feel qualified to do. And when that happens, we can find ourselves grumbling or complaining to God that we have to do this. Or we can find ourselves arguing with God, God, we can't do this. I don't have this ability. But that shouldn't be our attitude. Anything that God burns our heart to accomplish should be done with a joyous spirit, with a joyous attitude. God wants to use us. Us! God wants to use us to accomplish his will. And so anything that he asks us to do, God, you want me to do that? Really? I can serve you that way? And that should be a joyful attitude that we have a heart. It's amazing. It's a privilege that we can serve God. Let me also say that the attitude we have is not always just with God, but sometimes it can be with other fellow Christians. God gives us a desire. We work on accomplishing it, but no one else wants to help us. What's wrong with them? They're just not spiritual enough. And we get so frustrated that others don't want to get involved. I remember when I was in Bible college my first year during summer break, I came back to Community Baptist Church and I said, Pastor, I think we should start a door-to-door evangelism program. Every Saturday, we can go out in the morning and we can knock on doors. And Pastor Ailsak said, that sounds great. Let's go for that. And so we promoted it. We announced it. And we were getting excited about it. Man, I couldn't wait. Who wouldn't want to do this? Let's all get involved. Okay, we're ready to go. We're all showing up Saturday, 10 o'clock. We're going to go out in the community. We're going to knock on doors. We're going to witness people. And we're going to see so many people saved. Well, Saturday comes around. I'm there. I'm excited about it. Pastor Ailsak shows up. His son, Chad, shows up, who was working on staff at the time. And we're waiting and waiting. And no one else showed up. In my heart, as spiritual as I was, these unspiritual people, how could they not be right with God? How could they not want to go and witness to other people? God wants us to go and reach the world with the gospel. And they should be out here on Saturday knocking doors. That was the heart that I had, disputing, arguing, getting angry with other people. But you know, as I've grown, I've learned some things. God gifts us and equips us in a lot of different ways. Yes, we're all called to evangelize. None of us have an excuse not to preach the gospel to every other creature. But God uses us in different ways. Some of us, he gifts us with a burden and a desire to go and knock on doors and confront people. Sometimes he gives people opportunities within coworkers, and you have more opportunities to share the Christ with people. Sometimes it's loving people and neighbors. Sometimes it's when Sunday school class. I mean, there's so many different ways that we can share Christ with people. And if people look for different opportunities, and so just because somebody is not doing things the way God has burdened our hearts to do it, doesn't mean they're not spiritual. Doesn't mean they're not serving God. God has called them in a different way. He's given us that passion and that burden. And so we must be careful to not murmur, to not complain, to not think that others are less spiritual or less closely walking with God as we are, because they're not doing things the same way we are. See, God works in us individually to give us passions to do things. He might not do it in the lives of other people. And so let us focus on and rejoice over those who do join us, or even if we're doing it alone, that God has given us this privilege and this ministry and this desire to serve him and not get upset with other people who don't join us. But let me also say that God wants us to be involved. And you say, well, Pastor Chris, God just hasn't given me the desire to do anything. No. God is working in your heart. God wants you to accomplish his desires and his passions. And so we must work together as a body, as ministers, to accomplish his purpose and his plan for our life. We must look for ways. Sometimes God will give you the burden just to help another brother, to help them fulfill their dreams and their desires. You don't necessarily have a desire to accomplish the same thing they do. You just want to help them out. And God has given you that burden. And so we're joined together. We're a team. We're a body that works together with the joints that are connecting us. And we must strive together to accomplish what God has called us to do. But if others don't, join us, if we're all alone, we must keep a good attitude. We must do it without murmuring and disputing. You know, as I often tell my boys, attitude is a choice. It starts with how we think about something and or someone, and then it creeps down into our emotions. If we focus on the privilege of serving God, it won't matter if anybody else is out there with me or if anybody else is out there doing this with me. Man, I get to do this for God. I mean, I can go knock on doors and tell other people about Jesus. Oh, no one else wants, that's their loss. I mean, man, God has called me to do this. What a privilege. Oh man, God wants me to teach in the Sunday school class. Oh, no one else wants to help. That's okay, because God has called me to do this. And it's a privilege and it's a joy to serve God in whatever he's called us to do, no matter if anybody else wants to come and join us or not. We must do all things, whatever God has called us to do, whatever passions he's put in our hearts, without murmuring or disputing. You know, one day John the Baptist was out and about and his disciples came to him and they were complaining. They said, John, all these people are leaving us and they're following after Jesus Christ. And John's response to his disciples is a good reminder to us. This is in John 3. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. John tells him, I know my place. I know who I am. It's not about me. It's about Jesus Christ. It's not about others joining me. It's not my ministry. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about other people following him. And sometimes when we pursue our God-given passions, other people might not follow us, but it might stir in their hearts to follow the God-given passions that God has given him. He must increase, even if I decrease. Even if no one talks about me, even if nobody acknowledges the ministry that God has put in my heart and the passions that I'm fulfilling, as long as Jesus Christ is being glorified, it's worth it. And so that's the attitude that we must have. We must have a good attitude in our service. And all of this is because there's a difference that's to be made. Look with me in verse number 15. He said that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labor in vain. You see, the purpose of our ministry, the purpose of the passions that God has given us, the purpose of the salvation that God has given us is that we would be different, that we would shine as lights in this world, that they might see there's a difference about us, that they might see there's a love in our hearts for other people, and they might see the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ shining out of our lives, to make a difference in this perverse and crooked generation, and that we might hold forth the word of life. In our ministries, we might go and we might bake cookies and people go, why? Let me tell you why. Because Jesus Christ loves you, and that because he loves you, I love you. And we hold forth the word of life to them and we offer them salvation and say, this is the hope. See, that's why God has given you the passion that you have. That's why God has given you the desire that you have. That is why God gives you the energy. It's not so you can walk around and say, look what a great Christian I am and what big muscles I have. No, it's so we can make a difference and we can hold forth the word of life and we can show people that the salvation that was given to us that produces these muscles can be given to them too. We have a magic pill, so to say, where we can wake up strong. And it's a salvation that we have in Christ. And we can hold that forth to other people. That is the purpose of our calling. That is the purpose of the passions that God has put in our life. We are to be a light to this lost and perverse generation. That's why God has given you the passion you have in your heart right now. That thing you've been thinking about, man, it wouldn't be great if we did this. Or God's been saying, you know, I would love for you to do that. And you've thought about it and and meditated on it. And you're, you know, I just don't have time right now and I can't do this. And you all these reasons. And God has been stirring in your heart about it. The reason he wants you to do that is so you can be a light to this world. And so you can make a difference for Jesus Christ in holding forth the word of life. That's what it's all about. There's a difference that is to be made in this world. And it's done when we carry out the God-given passions that he has given us. A difference that is to be made. And finally, we see that there's a joy to be experienced. Look with me in verse number 16. He says, holding forth the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not labored in vain or run in vain, neither labored in vain. Now there can come a day when we're going to stand before Jesus Christ. And when we've done what he's given us passions to do, we'll stand before him and yes, it will be an exciting day. We'll rejoice. It'll be exciting. We won't have labored in vain or run in vain because we have done what God has called us to do. Or we can keep our salvation to ourselves. And when we stand before Jesus Christ, it won't be so joyful. There'll be a little sadness, wood, hay, and stubble. Man, I wish I would have been different. It's like when you start thinking, man, I need to start exercising when you're 30, and you put it off, and then you hit 40, and you're like, man, I wish I would have done that when I was 30, because it's a lot harder when you're 40. And you have that regret in your life, and we're going to stand before God one day, and we can either say, God, I used the salvation you gave me, the passions you gave me, the desires you say gave me for your glory, and oh, man, that was so worth it. It was so awesome. Or we say, God, I know you stirred my heart that way, and I just didn't do it. And there's that shame. That's an embarrassment of not using what God has given us. You see, there's a joy that's to be had. And that joy comes in serving Jesus Christ. That joy comes in fulfilling the God-given passions that he's given us, working out our salvation. That is what God is desiring from us. That is the heart that we have. And so I ask you this morning, what passions do you have? What passions do you have? What God-given desires and abilities has God placed within you? He has given them to you to accomplish with them. Maybe he's spoken to your heart about teaching a class. Don't wait. Go for it. Maybe he's spoken to your heart about starting a new ministry. Don't wait. Go for it. He has given you these desires, this ability, these passions, this energy for you to accomplish it. Pursue your God-given passions that God has placed in you with a good attitude. You know, the missionary William Carey once said, expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. Are you expecting great things from God in your life? Are you attempting great things for God? Or are you content to just show up and be a part of some services and let everyone else dream and do? Dear friends, I encourage you to dream. Dream. God, how can you use me? God, what is it you want from me? God, how can we be more effective in this community? God, would you work in my heart? Won't you give me passions? Dream in your hearts of what God wants you to do. God wants to use you, and he'll do amazing things through your life if you're willing to say, all right, God, you're doing this in my heart. I'm going to do all I can. But God, I need you. I need your energy. I need your strength. But God, I'm going for it. And we jump in with all the passions, with all the desires that God has put in our hearts and fulfill the dreams that he's given us. That's what our heart and abilities are all about. Do you have passions? Is there things that have been stirring in your heart? What is God working in your heart to do? What have you been hesitant about jumping into? Dream. Do, go, and man, when it's all done, it'll be so joyful. Even in the midst of it, there's nothing greater. There's nothing more exciting than serving Jesus Christ. And so go, pursue your passions that God has placed in your heart, and he will work in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure.